New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hesse Low V2, and all New Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
Just when you think you're going to have a quiet week in the Big 12 Conference, the league absolutely shocks you. Welcome in, I'm Pete Mundo on Heartland College Sports. We cover the Big 12, the most exciting conference in college football, hands down. And this week was just another example of exactly that. Hit that subscribe button if you are new, or if you're just back here, but you haven't subscribed yet. And there are thousands of you watching who have not. So hit that subscribe button and also bang that thumbs up. We have several hundred of you doing that for each of these reaction videos. And every single time you do it, it helps. So welcome in. Thank you for doing that. And same thing on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Hit that 5-star rating and review. And yes, the commentary is going to come in fast and furious. On this Week 10 reaction show, we've got the Red Raiders fans, we've got the Houston fans out in full force, and you guys and gals should be feeling absolutely fantastic. Oh, man. So let's talk about this Week 10 in the Big 12. We had two massive upsets. There were two teams who were double-digit underdogs this weekend who won outright. And that would be Texas Tech as a 13.5-point dog winning at Iowa State, handing the Cyclones their first loss of the season. And then you had Houston upsetting Kansas State at home as well. They were a 14-point dog in that game. So let's start in Ames. We'll talk about all five games, but let's start in Ames, Iowa, where Texas Tech beats Iowa State 23-22. I'm watching this game, and I put this up on X during the game. I said, Texas Tech might win, but I'm not sure they deserve to win. The play calling to me did not make a lot of sense throughout this game for Texas Tech. And I know if you're a Tech fan, you felt like that all year long with Zach Kittley. But here's one thing I will say. In the opening drive, Texas Tech ran the ball 5 times on 7 plays. They scored a touchdown. On their next 20 plays, they ran it twice. You've got Taj Brooks. You're taking on an Iowa State team that is weak at linebacker, that has struggled against the run. I mean, John Heacock's team has been very good, but they have not been good against the run. They've been in the bottom half of the Big 12 against the run, giving up almost 180 yards per game on the ground. You have a great first drive with Taj Brooks, and then you go away from him. I just didn't understand it. And I felt like, frankly, Tech allowed Iowa State to hang on and hang around this game much longer than it should have. Tech's defense, which had been an abomination the last couple of weeks, was doing its job, was keeping Rocco Becht in check. He had a bad night. I mean, he had a lot of yards, but overall, he did not have a very efficient or good night. I thought the running game for Iowa State was okay, but far from outstanding based on what Iowa State fans had seen so far this season. This is an Iowa State offense that was averaging well over 200 yards per game on the ground coming into this game, and Tech's defense did a great job holding them to barely 130 and 3.5 yards a carry. So the Tech defense was showing out in a big way. But then on the other side, you had the offense that felt like it was making life more difficult on itself than it needed to be. So Tech ends up, of course, getting this win, and you go on the road to Ames, Iowa, Iowa State coming off a bye, and you get a win like this. That is darn impressive. And when you find yourself down late, Iowa State scores that touchdown. Rocco Becht finds Carson Brown for a 44-yard score. They go for the two-point conversion. They miss it. And then you get the ball back when your offense had not exactly been playing outstanding the last couple of drives. And you put together a 12-play, 71-yard drive, methodically moving the ball down the field. You get Taj Brooks back into the mix on that final drive. And boom, you end up getting into the end zone. And who does it, by the way? Who's the guy who punches it in for you? The guy you should have been riding more all night. And that is Taj Brooks. That's who. And that was the perfect way for this game to end. Now, you might look at the box score and be like, hey, Taj Brooks had 25 carries. What do you mean? Well, listen, he came on late. He came on early. There was a large swath in between where I thought to myself, where is Taj Brooks? He could have easily had 30, 32 carries in this game, and nobody would have batted an eye. And frankly, he would have been that workhorse that Texas Tech could have used to get out to a solid lead throughout this game and not have to come back late. But they did come back late. They got it done. They got a very solid win over an undefeated Iowa State team, and they stay right in the thick of the Big 12 title race. That's the other thing as well. Texas Tech is 4-2 in conference play. I mean, they are right there in the Big 12 conversation. Now, they need a lot of help. There's no doubt about it. They need a lot of help. But if I told you as a Texas Tech fan, you'd be going into the second weekend in November, and we say, hey, you're playing Colorado, and this is a Big 12 elimination game, would you take it? Of course you would. You'd be nuts not to take it. Of course you'd take it in a heartbeat. And that's exactly where Texas Tech finds us right now. So exciting times for the Red Raiders. I know everybody's going to feel better about this team after they snapped the two-game losing streak. The coaching staff was having fun on social media after the game. And listen, you know as well as I do, there were questions throughout the game, and they make you wonder whether or not the coaching staff is going about things the right way. The second-to-last drive, the turnover on downs for Texas Tech at the Iowa State 44-yard line. You've got a 4th-and-1. You have a false start. You get a 4th-and-6. You got Baron Morton trying to pass the ball. Like, do you punt it there? Do you play the field position game? I would have punted it at 4th-and-6 because your defense was playing so well. And that's the part that's getting overlooked, I think, here. The defense was playing so well for the Red Raiders. I know the stats gurus might say you go for it there on a 4th-and-6. I don't think you do. But some may say you go for it on the 4th-and-6 based on whatever data is out there. But sometimes I also would use my gut and say, hey, my defense is playing lights out. I'm going to give these guys a chance to get a stop and win this game. Up 17-16 there. So now it didn't matter in hindsight, but that's the drive and that's the moment. Had Texas Tech not won the game, we would have been talking about. And for Iowa State, listen, that's a bad performance coming off a bye week. There's no other way to spin it. That is an awful performance coming off a bye week. But it also, it's why I picked Texas Tech to cover the spread here. Iowa State was due for one of those. Iowa State was taking on another team that was very good on the ground, just like UCF a couple of weeks prior, and you saw an eerily similar result. So that's that game in the books. Thank you guys for being here on Heartland College Sports. Hit that thumbs up button if you're on YouTube. Subscribe on the podcast and on YouTube as well. Texas Football Channel leaving a comment saying, great podcast, go Big 12. Well, thank you very much for that. Kim saying, Pete, you're right about the lack of carries for Taj Brooks. Yeah, no, listen, winning cures a lot of things. Had Tech lost this game, we'd be talking a lot more about the play calling. I'll just leave it at that. How about this? Meanwhile, crickets can be heard from Tucson. We'll get to that game. There are not even crickets coming out of Tucson. There is nothing. There is just silence coming out of Tucson right now. Whew. All right, the other huge game, the other big upset of the day was Houston taking down Kansas State. Now, this is another game. that in hindsight, we should look at it and say, should this really be all that stunning? I told you last week that I didn't like Kansas State minus the points, but I didn't pick this game because my concern was that Kansas State's biggest weakness was the secondary. And I didn't know if Houston would be able to take advantage of that weakness in the secondary. And for the most part, they didn't, but they did have some big plays down the field that helped set up scores, that helped set up Houston to end up pulling off this upset against Kansas State. And you got to remember, Kansas State has had several fourth quarter comebacks this year, right? You look at Tulane, you look at Colorado, you look at Kansas. All games they had to come back late to win. This team, and this is cliche, I don't like to play the game this way because you can play it on both sides, but like K-State is a couple of plays away from potentially being 6-3, or I guess it'd be, 6-2 or 5-3 or something like that. Now, I thought they were a year ahead of schedule based on the games they were winning this year, but they were due for one of these. Did I think it happened at Houston? No. But Houston's been playing much better. And in my preseason predictions back in August, I said about Willie Fritz, I would rather play this team in the first half of the season than the second half of the season. Did I think they'd go on a rip here where they'd win 3 games out of 4? No, I didn't. But here we are. And Zion Chris is proven to be a guy that has dual threat ability. He can do enough with his arm. He's pretty darn effective on the ground. He can rip off big runs when you need it from him. Donovan Smith really can't do that. And you saw Houston take advantage of that in a very big way on Saturday against Kansas State. And, you know, I look back on this game and I think to myself, I just wondered why. It seemed to me at times like Kansas State's offense was too reliant on the arm of Avery Johnson when the weather stunk and you were on the road. I mean, you can't really get a sense of it on TV, but the rain was pouring down there in Houston. And you find yourself, you know, I think about this too. You find yourself in a very good spot, right? You're up, if you're Kansas State, you're up 19-10. It's early in the fourth quarter. And you're putting a lot in the hands of Avery Johnson. That interception early in the fourth quarter, I thought to myself, you're up 2 scores, you're on the road, it's the fourth quarter, you've got DJ Giddens in the backfield and Dylan Edwards, just run these guys. Just run these guys and let them take care of this game on the road. Get the ugly win and move on. And instead, what happens? Avery throws an interception. And by the way, you are deep in your own territory at that point. Why do that there? I know it's easy to Monday morning quarterback it, but like literally, you're in an ugly game on the road. The weather stinks. You've got a first-year starting quarterback who, yes, has done great this season, but still is a first-year starting quarterback on the road. I don't care how ugly this thing is at that point. Play the field position game. Make this Houston offense beat you. Instead, you throw a pick there. You've got Houston inside your 10-yard line. They score a touchdown 3 plays later, and they're back in the game at 19-17. So now you're sitting here with a 2-point lead. And at that point, you know, it's the same kind of situation, but it's different. It's the same in the sense that you're back in your own territory. The weather still stinks. You're holding on to a 2-point lead. What do you do? Well, then they just went back to the run more effectively, but Houston, it felt like, was ready for it at that point. And let's be honest, having a 2-score lead is a lot different than sitting there on the ropes, 2-point lead, 1-score game. All the momentum was with the other side, was with the home team in that situation. So, you know, you're punting after 5 plays, you're getting yourself into a 3rd and long, and, you know, luckily DJ Giddens fumbled, but it was recovered by Kansas State. And then you got a 27-yard punt to set things up for Houston. They don't take advantage of it there, right? You exchange punts after that. But then what happens? Zion Chris, 41 yards on the ground, touchdown, Houston wins. K-State throws another interception, and there it is. That's your game. So I think Avery Johnson's going to be a great quarterback in this conference. I think that Kansas State has an absolute stud and winner, but he was due for one of these on the road, and I just don't think the coaching staff put him in a great position to come out of there with a win when you found yourself in that 19-10 spot early in the fourth quarter. Houston outscored K-State 14-zip in that final quarter, and it's like K-State did not know what hit them. So, great win by Houston. Willie Fritz is going to be dangerous. And I heard him talking about Willie Fritz on the broadcast last night. And they're like, you know, this guy, he's 64 years old. And oh my gosh, he's got the first big shot, the Power 5 level. This is why you just bring in dudes who can coach. Chris Kleiman from FCS. Lance Leipold from the MAC. Willie Fritz, who's in his mid-60s when he gets his big break. Give me these guys over your hotshot young coordinator who really hasn't had to battle through tough seasons, develop and mold young men. You're in the trenches decade after decade. Give me a guy like Willie Fritz over the young hotshot who simply called plays for a great head coach every single time. Guys like that are proving why they're getting more opportunities. And they should get more opportunities because football's football. If you can coach it, you can coach it. If you can recruit, you can recruit. What he's done turning around from Dana Holgorsen's absolute debacle that he left that program in has been darn impressive. And these guys are playing hard for him, and it's damn fun to see. So big stuff there for these two teams, Houston and Texas Tech, on Saturday, pulling off a pair of double-digit upsets.
New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hessilo V2, and all New Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Elsewhere around the Big 12, let's go to Baylor and TCU for a few minutes. Boy, that rivalry continues to just meet expectations. I don't want to say exceed expectations, but you've now got three of the last 4 years where this game has been decided by 3 points or less. It reminds me of that stretch in the early 2000s between Art Briles and Gary Patterson, where they had just some incredible games, 2012, 2013, 2014, 61-58. There were some incredible games during that run between these two programs. And it feels like, while they're not in the same stature right now, 10 years ago, both these teams were tops in the country, but they're playing incredible games. And that's what you saw again on Saturday when Baylor used a game-winning field goal to beat TCU 37-34. And, you know, Baylor did everything it could, it felt like, at times. Now, they got some bad calls. I'm not one to look at the refs, but the refs did call some ticky-stack stuff on Baylor at times. There's no doubt about it. But Baylor also might have gotten away with a couple of things late. That being said, Baylor at home gets it done. They put up 500 total yards of offense, a lot of it on the ground, and the MVP of this game for Baylor was the offensive line. The offensive line was outstanding for this Baylor Bears team. And they deserve a tremendous amount of credit. They piled up 257 rushing yards against TCU, almost 6 yards a carry, 5 rushing touchdowns. Bryson Washington had 4 of those with 196 yards. And overall, TCU didn't really get to the quarterback a ton, only a couple of sacks, and that's because this offensive line was getting a ton of push. And down the stretch on that final drive, that I think it was like a 13-yard run by Bryson Washington on the first down after the big fourth down conversion, man, that just showed you what this offensive line was capable of. They had just gotten the first down on a 4th-and-9, and there's 12 seconds left. Washington's trying to run it, just get a couple more yards to get him in the field goal range or closer within field goal range, and he rips off a 13-yarder. And the offensive line is pushing him the whole way. And I'm like, that's it right there. That is this night in a nutshell. It is Baylor's offensive line going to work and just giving it to this TCU front seven. And that's exactly what they did. And Sawyer Robertson continues to prove that he's a guy who was overlooked this offseason. We all talked about Daquan Finn. Hey, Sawyer Robertson has been a very nice quarterback, and I thought it was interesting during the broadcast watching the game. They were talking about how Dave Aranda said he's not like that big rah-rah kind of a guy, but he's developed into a solid leader for this team. And that's exactly what you want. You want a guy who is capable. It doesn't have to be Tim Tebow out there, but he just has to be that solid leader that you want in a big spot leading your offense. And if there was ever a doubter out there left, well, that final drive, 11 plays, 59 yards, helped anybody who was still doubting Sawyer Robertson. And don't forget the drive before that, 13 plays for 81 yards. That was a thing of beauty as well. So he really had a very good finish to this game. I mean, these teams were exchanging blows down the stretch. You look at the second half. I mean, you couldn't watch a drive without points being scored. There were only 2 drives in the entire second half where, well, 3 drives. Two. Each team had 1 punt in the second half. That's it. Every other drive, field goal, touchdown, 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 field goal. That was Baylor, TCU, in a nutshell. And I said it last week on the Week 10 preview show that if Dave Aranda wins this game, I feel like he could be off the hot seat for good, at least until 2025. And with the way they won this game, I now firmly believe that Dave Aranda is off the hot seat. You beat your arch rival on a game-winning field goal as time expires. Don't kid yourself. The emotion around how you win matters. And now, if you're Baylor, you've won 3 straight. It feels like this team has recovered from that Hail Mary regulation, then overtime lost to Colorado, and they've now won 3 in a row, and they're in a great position, and they feel like a totally different team. Now, they could collapse down the stretch and miss a bowl game. They're 5-4. But barring some kind of epic collapse for Dave Aranda, I believe he's safe, and I think he's back in 2025. And I think this game seals the deal. They are recruiting much better. When you look at the Big 12 standings, they're in the top 2 or 3 in 2025 recruiting rankings in the Big 12. And with the way this team has bounced back over the last couple of weeks, I would be stunned if Dave Aranda is shown the door at this point. I believe that Aranda sealed his return in 2025 with this win for the Bears. And for TCU, listen, they had some mojo, they had some momentum coming into this game. They also had turned things around coming out of their bye week, but they did a much better job, right, in the turnover department. They came in minus 11 in the turnover department, which was 126th in the nation. And it was a very clean game. Neither team had any turnovers. There were no turnovers in this game. So TCU held its own on that front. But what could they not do? Couldn't get a stop. That's been the problem. You know, you look at what TCU, and you were hoping, if you were a TCU fan, that they were going to get better with Andy Avalos coming in as defensive coordinator to replace Joe Gillespie, who was fired after last season. But the defense has really not done a great job this year, especially against the run. It's been much better against the pass than the run, and part of that might just be the horses that they've got or don't have on that side of the ball to run Avalos' scheme. But all in all, that's where teams are punishing TCU right now, and that's what Baylor did very effectively, and Baylor knew it could do that. They knew it. I mean, did you watch this game and not think that the team who had the ball last was going to win? Because as the second half's going on, that's what I'm saying to myself. Yeah, you know what? Whoever gets the ball last is going to win this game. And that's exactly how it played out. But TCU has very winnable games down the stretch here. Oklahoma State, Arizona, and Cincinnati. So this can still turn out to be easily a 7, if not 8 win season. And based on last year's 5-7 campaign, that is a step back in the right direction for Sonny Dykes and this program. There's no doubt about it. But mostly, this game is all about Baylor, Dave Aranda, and the turnaround this team is going through in the middle of this season, which has been a heck of a lot of fun to watch. No doubt about it. I'm Pete Mundo. Thanks for being here. As always, on Heartland College Sports, we appreciate you joining us as a part of the show. So a couple of games still to talk about here in the Big 12. Let's go to Arizona State, beating up Oklahoma State 42-21. So this game had a multi-hour lightning delay in the middle of it. And at the time, Oklahoma State was down 21-14 at halftime. They come out of this multi-hour weather delay. Theoretically, that should benefit the home team. It doesn't. And Arizona State ends up with a 42-21 victory. And Cam Scataboo has himself a very strong game on the ground. I mean, anybody who plays Oklahoma State is going to rack up rushing yards. They've been terrible against the run this season. But now you look at this game in particular, and that second half was all about, and frankly, the whole game was all about what Arizona State could do on the ground and what Oklahoma State could not do on the ground. Ollie Gordon came into the season as a Heisman contender. Some people called him the Heisman favorite. Ollie Gordon had 11 carries for 25 yards. Cam Scataboo, 23 carries, 153 yards. In a game that was going to be ugly because of the weather, Oklahoma State could not rely on its stud running back, its running game, and I also wonder how much of it is Casey Dunn just getting very gun-shy when the running game just doesn't work out right away. He just seems to want to bail on it. And I don't quite understand why. But you see it a lot with this team and this offense. And my goodness, the three and outs. There were a couple of drives in the second half. I'm going to pull them up because I want to make sure I have all this right. But there were a couple of drives in the second half where I'm just like, what are you doing? Like, the weather stinks. Balls are wet. Just nothing is good out there. And Alan Bowman, who's just had a total stinker of a year, is throwing incomplete pass after incomplete pass after incomplete pass. It's like, my goodness. I'm looking at this. Okay, second drive of the second half, Oklahoma State, three straight incomplete passes from Alan Bowman, punted. Drive after that, Ollie Gordon runs for 9 yards. Ollie Gordon runs for 3 yards. Great, first down. What do we do then? Two straight Bowman passes. One is complete, next one's incomplete, then you have a run, no gain, and then Bowman incomplete pass. And I'll add to the fact as well, Gordon didn't touch the ball after having 12 yards on his first two carries on that drive. What are we doing here? You've got Ollie Gordon back there. Give him the rock. If I'm going to lose, if I'm Oklahoma State, I'd rather lose because I'm giving Ollie Gordon the ball too much versus trusting Alan Bowman to win me a game. Okay, I'm done with that if I'm an Oklahoma State fan. And then you have Mike Gundy making a shocking admission after the game saying that he's not happy with the schemes or he doesn't agree with the schemes, some of the schemes. It's like, brother, you're the head coach. And I love Mike Gundy. I'm a huge Mike Gundy fan. I think he's gotten railroaded unfairly at times as a head coach on the field and off the field. I don't know the guy, so I've got no skin in the game. I'm just sitting here talking to you as a Big 12 guy, watching this conference every year for years and years and years now, and saying to myself, something's not right. There is a disconnect there. There is an aloofness at times, and it's not that Gundy's going anywhere. He's got two decades of goodwill. He has put this program on his back. He has redefined it. I'm not suggesting he should go anywhere, but it's gotten now to rock bottom, and it's at the point where rock bottom means you have to look in the mirror and evaluate what exactly is going on and what you're doing too. And that's what has to happen right now for Mike Gundy. This team returned the vast majority of starters, talent on both sides of the ball, and it has been a nightmare of a season. They are 0-6 in Big 12 play, and four of those six games they have lost by an average of 20 points. It's not like they're Kansas, where they have all these fourth quarter blown leads. That's just like kind of bad luck. They are getting smoked. And credit to Arizona State going on the road. The game gets pushed up by 3.5 hours. That throws off Arizona State going west to east a little bit. You're on the road. You're off a bye. Your quarterback still probably isn't 100%. And you go out there and you get a very solid win. And now Arizona State finds itself at 6-2. Bowl eligible with four games to go. Who wouldn't have signed up for that if you were an Arizona State fan? My goodness. And Kenny Dillingham, born on April 28, 1990, is the first head coach to be born in the 1990s and lead a program to a bowl game. How about that little tidbit? He's got his job at his alma mater. Hopefully it's his dream job if you're an Arizona State fan, because the future is going to be very bright in Tempe. And looking up. Now, Arizona State's 3-2. They're going to need a miracle to find themselves in Big 12 title contention. But heck, why not, right? Like, why not? And Arizona State set the tone early. They score a touchdown on the opening drive, and they really never looked back after that. It was very impressive from start to finish for Arizona State in this game. And credit to them and credit to this program that was picked to finish dead last in the Big 12 and now is well on its way to being very relevant in the Big 12 down the home stretch.
You earned a degree in the behavioral health field because you wanted to make a difference. And you're needed now more than ever. Through the new Great Minds Fellowship Program, recent Ohio graduates may be able to receive as much as $20,000 in student loan support when working full-time at a community behavioral health center. Apply before November 15th. To learn more about program eligibility, visit highered.ohio.gov. That's highered.ohio.gov.
Last but not least, in the Week 10 Big 12 games, UCF blasting Arizona 56-12. So two big takeaways here for each team, or one for each team, two total. Is Arizona quite possibly the most disappointing team in the Big 12 this season? It's easy to say Oklahoma State. It's also easy to say Utah. But Arizona was another team that had very high expectations. Now, I was wrong on plenty. I had a Big 12 championship game of Utah taking on UCF. But one thing I was right about was Arizona. I had Arizona going 5-4 in conference play. And Arizona fans crushed me for it. And I said, I don't trust the defense, new coaching staff. I want to see more from the trenches. And those are all things that just look like an absolute mess right now. They've got some sexy star players and not much else. And now they're 1-5 in league play, and they're losing games to UCF, who had dropped 5 in a row, by 44 points. It is amazing how this program has turned around for the negative over this season. And there's nothing to suggest it's going to get better anytime soon for Coach Brennan and this staff. And then on the other side, did UCF finally find its quarterback in Dylan Risk? And, oh, can they add more space games? UCF is 8-0 in their annual space games, and they win those games by a combined or an average of 30.8 points a game. Remember the Oklahoma State game last year in the rain? They shocked the Cowboys at home. If they just did a space game every week, I think UCF would be undefeated every single year. I think that's how it goes, right? But if they finally found a quarterback in Dylan Ritzk, and I don't want to put too much emphasis on a game against an Arizona team that stinks, but heck, it's the best quarterback play we've seen all season, at least throwing the ball, from anybody at UCF, and they've tried four different quarterbacks at this point. So I say give Dylan the rock, let him finish out the season. He's a freshman, and see what you got. He's got some wheels too, okay? He's got some wheels. So see what the freshman's got, and if you think he's your guy going into 2025, that's a great place to be if you're Gus Malzahn in this offense. And Malzahn noted giving up play calling and being around the defense this past week was a big deal for him, and I'm glad he said it, and I hope that continues because, listen, if that's part of what makes you feel like you're doing your job as a head coach, well, good. Do it well, and you've overhauled the coaching staff, and that's one of the reasons you fired Ted Roof, and that's one of the reasons I picked UCF to cover the spread this week against Arizona. Not only was Arizona, I thought, going to be way overmatched, but anytime you fire a head coach that sometimes gets a little mojo going for your guys, gets everybody to straighten up their backs a little bit, and it looks like that's exactly what happened. So I will say this much. My picks went 2-0-1 this week. UCF minus 6 hit. Texas Tech plus 13 hit. And then Baylor minus 3 was a push. So 2-0-1 on the week after going 1-2 last week on the Big 12 football picks. I'm Pete Mundo on Heartland College Sports. And now I will add this to the conversation. Two huge winners from week 10 in the Big 12 was BYU and Colorado. BYU and Colorado benefit tremendously. Why? Well, BYU now has some wiggle room after Iowa State lost, so they have now a one-game lead over everybody in the conference at 5-0. And Colorado, without playing, moves into a tie for second place in the league. Iowa State loses, they go to 4-1, tied with Colorado. And Kansas State loses, they fall to 4-2 when Kansas State had the win against Colorado a couple of weeks back. So Colorado is now very much in the Big 12 Conference Championship race. The tiebreakers are crazy. It will come down to common opponents' records, most likely, to see who gets into the conference title game. But we will have all those breakdowns for you at HeartlandCollegeSports.com as this week progresses. If you haven't yet, make sure you join us on the forums. Those are free. It's a great way to interact with fellow Big 12 fans. Go there, sign up. We don't ask you for anything. It's just a great way to meet other Big 12 fans from other fan bases. And it's all very cordial. We're not like talking smack all week. It's just Big 12 guys and gals hanging out, talking shop, and enjoying themselves. Thank you guys for being there and being here at HeartlandCollegeSports.com. If you have not done it, hit that subscribe button on the video, on the channel. We greatly appreciate you doing that. And the thumbs up there as well. Thank you. On Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, hit the 5-star rating and review. And we've got over 800 of those. I want to get to, can we get to 850 before the end of November? What do you think, podcast listeners? I'm going to challenge you guys to continue to grow that thing and make it happen. And we so appreciate you guys coming out and being here at HeartlandCollegeSports.com. I'm Pete Mundo. Have a great rest of your day. We'll talk to you soon at Go Big 12.
New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hessilo V2, and all new Balance basketball products, visit NewBalance.com today.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.